This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host,
let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 10:01 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to a very special edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening. As always, happy race day of awesomeness. I don't know what to call this day, but it is obviously Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, and that means one of the greatest days any race fan could ever have with the triple header of motorsports from around the world, with the Grand Prix of Monaco, which just finished up, the Indianapolis 500, and tonight's Coke 600 for NASCAR. One of the best days of the year if you are a race fan, and thanks for spending part of it with us here this morning. Phone lines are open here right off the bat, 803-0551. 888-550-2550. Anything going on this great day of motorsports, feel free to share your thoughts, your picks to win today's Indy 500 and Coke 600, what you thought of the Monaco Grand Prix, which just wrapped up, as I said. Anything you want to talk about here, motorsports related, on this gorgeous Sunday morning here in Western New York, feel free to share. You can also tweet us at FastTrack550 and Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. Coming up on today's program, great show lineup for you, at least I like to think it is. Coming up in, 12 minutes or so, you're going to hear from Graham Rahal, who starts 14th in today's Indianapolis 500. Graham was in Buffalo on Tuesday, part of the whirlwind Indianapolis 500 media day, where IndyCar sends some of its biggest stars to markets around the country, whether they're big media markets or they're markets that are closely related to IndyCar events on the schedule. That's how Buffalo got into the fold, because of Watkins Glen and their race Labor Day weekend. So had a chance to sit in studio here with Graham Rahal on Tuesday. So you're going to hear that interview coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Brant James from USA Today is going to join us. Brant is in Charlotte covering tonight's Coke 600. We will hear from Brant, get his thoughts on all things NASCAR. The Hall of Fame class for 2018 was out this week. The National Series schedules came out this week. A lot of the stuff we kind of talked about last week are in the schedule. Things like Indianapolis closing out the regular season, Richmond going into the chase, Chicago moving to the regular season, Las Vegas being the kickoff to the playoffs, and the fact that NASCAR is going to run the road course at Charlotte in the fall next October. All of that in the Monster Energy Cup Series schedule for 2018. So we'll talk to Brant about that at the bottom of the hour. But we're going to start here with the Indianapolis 500, the 101st running of the greatest spectacle in racing, and you will hear it live here on WGR. As soon as we're off the air at 11, we'll hand things off to the IMS Radio Network, and our friend Mark James, that we talked to last week, will anchor the broadcast coverage along with Nick Yeoman, Jay Query, and among others on the broadcast today. And I'll tell you what, this has become the event for me. Over the last few years, I've just fallen in love with the Indianapolis 500. And I'm not big IndyCar guy. You know, I cover it on the show. You know, had a chance to go to the Glen last year. You know, I've been to a couple of races at the Glen. But obviously, if you listen to the show, you know, kind of NASCAR one, local racing and IndyCar kind of in that order, maybe local racing NASCAR. But this event is just the best. The pageantry, the history of it all, it's just truly phenomenal, the Indianapolis 500. It's become, I think, my number one event on my sports bucket list of events that I would want to go to. You know, I've been to the Daytona 500. That was great. You know, I've been to NASCAR events. I've been to you know, Stanley Cup Finals game, been to that in 1999. Outside of a Bills Super Bowl, which I don't think will ever happen in my lifetime, I think the biggest sports event on my bucket list would be go to the Indianapolis 500. And it is just amazing just being able to follow everything on social media, just to get a small taste of what it's like with the the carb day on Friday with practice and the party and the concert. The Snake Pit, which is like the big rowdy place where a lot of fans kind of hang out and drink too much, kind of like the Kentucky Derby. It is definitely the coolest event, I think, that I would love to go to. The lineup for today, Scott Dixon is on the pole, Ed Carpenter, and defending race winner Alexander Rossi on the front row. Nice job for Rossi, again, kind of asserting that he is in it to win it for today's Indianapolis 500. And we've talked about it a lot, but just how much his story has changed in the last year, going from a guy that was trying to make it into the Formula One ranks to becoming an IndyCar driver and then being thrust into the spotlight, winning this race a year ago. And now today, he's going to start in the front row and have a chance to go back-to-back, and that's pretty amazing. He'll start on the front row. Row two will be Takuma Sato. Fernando Alonso, who has obviously garnered a lot of attention throughout the month of May at Indianapolis, the F1 star that is looking to expand his career racing resume by winning this race for Andretti Autosport. He'll start from the middle of row two. J.R. Hildebrand outside of that second row. Row three, some very interesting names. Tony Kanaan, Marco Andretti, and Will Power, three IndyCar veterans. Three drivers you know have a shot to win the race today. Row four, Ryan Hunter-Reay, former winner of this event. Inside that fourth row, Ed Jones, the rookie, and Oriel Servia, who's actually teammates with Graham Rahal today. Row five, Mikhail Lotion, Graham Rahal, Max Chilton. Row six, Charlie Kimball, James Hinchcliffe, and Juan Pablo Montoya, who's won this race twice, coming out of sort of retirement to drive for Roger Penske today. Of course, not a regular on the IndyCar series anymore. Row 7, Elio Castroneves, Jay Howard, Sage Karam. Row 8, Joseph Newgarden, another American. Defending series champ Simon Pagenaud, Carlos Munoz. There's some interesting names in Row 8. There's Newgarden, finished second in this race last year. Pagenaud, the defending champ, and Munoz has had, he's had some good runs. Actually, he finished second last year in this race, I apologize. But Newgarden ran very well last year as well, too. So there are some possible favorites deep in the field. Row 9, Gabby Chavez, Connor Daly, Jack Harvey. Row 10, Pippa Mann, Spencer Pigot, Buddy Lazier, and then Sebastian Saavedra, Zach Veach, and James Davison will round out the field of 33. Davison is driving for Sebastian Bourdais, who, of course, was in that scary qualifying accident last weekend. And he is the fractured pelvis and the hip that he's going with. He is actually at the track today on crutches, which is amazing. He's out of his hospital. He's already begun his rehab process and is at the track today with his Dale Coyne Racing team and James Davison, the Australian who fills in for him today. I think the two, I don't have a favorite per se, but I guess the two sentimental favorites for me, I think, are Tony Kanaan and Elio Castroneves. Two great personalities, two great representatives of the sport of IndyCar racing. These two gentlemen from Brazil are both, I think, sentimental favorites. Both have won this race before. They're both around 42 years of age. This might be one of their last best chances to win at Indy, especially for Elio. He has been stuck on three wins, and how great would it be for him to join the ranks of the Foyts and Mears and Unsers with a fourth win in the Indianapolis 500? He starts inside row seven, but obviously Penske's dominance at this in this event. Roger Penske's won this race 16 times as a car owner, so Elio's still always going to have a shot in this race. Won it four times, started on the pole four times. Won this race three times, started on the pole four times. But I would love to see Elio get a fourth win today and join that elusive club. And then Kanaan, TK, he thankfully won this race at least once in his career. And another great personality, very happy-go-lucky guy. He's got a great shot here starting inside row three. The Honda engines have been very good during qualifying and practice for this race. So I guess those would be two sentimental favorites to kind of watch for today. And again, maybe their last best chance to win the Indianapolis 500. But then you look at the old guard there, but there's also, you kind of got three. You got the old guard. You got some of the older guys like Kanaan and Castroneves. Then you got some, middle aged, but guys kind of maybe in the middle of their career, or maybe they're starting the downhill part of their career. You got Dixon, who's on the pole, has been oh so fast for Chip Ganassi. He's looking for his second win in this event. Will Power, his fellow Australian, who would love to get a win in this race. Marco Andretti, he's been at it a few years. Some of those guys. that deserve a win or another win in Indianapolis 500. And then you got the young guard that you've got in Rossi. Could he go back to back here in his first two cracks at it? Pagano, Hinchcliffe, you know, Joseph Newgarden. There's so many great potential winners in the field. It's really hard to pick one. You know, but out of every, you know, out of all of them, I think Dixon has kind of been the class of the field throughout the month of May. It helps that he's starting on the pole, but in this race, you know, starting position doesn't matter a whole lot because it is 500 miles, and if you have the right car or the right pit strategy, you can still win. But you know, it's just hard to kind of to pick a favorite for today's race. And but lots of great storylines, and just really looking forward to this race coming up at 12 noon this afternoon. Again, with the pageantry of everything and just the history, it has become my favorite, one of my favorite races of the year to watch, up there with like the Daytona 500. But it's also probably the one event I would love to get to in my lifetime as someone that's been to a Daytona 500, been to plenty of NASCAR events. But I think I would definitely want to add this to my sports bucket list. With that, again, phone lines open here, 803-0551, 888-552-550. But right now, let's go back to Tuesday, and let's catch up with the man who will start 14th in today's greatest spectacle in racing. Graham Rahal was in studio with me earlier this week. Well, we're sitting here with the driver of the Steak and Shake number 15 for Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing, and he starts 14th in the Indianapolis 500. Graham Rahal in studio. Graham, first off, welcome to Buffalo, and glad you could join us as part of your media tour.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's a beautiful day here. The weather's showing off, and you know, it was nice to come up here. Obviously promoting the 500 ball, but also our race at Watkins Glen Labor Day weekend, which we're looking forward to. But yeah, in the midst of a busy week. It's nice to be here.
I've been talking to a couple of people that cover IndyCar racing, especially those that they reside in the Indianapolis area throughout the year. I know you're originally from Columbus, but you've been around this sport all your life with your father, of course. But what does it mean to you when that calendar flips to the month of May and you know this is coming up in your schedule? Just what kind of feelings you get this time of year?
Well, a lot. You know, I mean, it means a lot. I think everybody's excited to get it going. It's a stressful month. There is a lot that goes on, but in general, you know, it's an opportunity to go and have a great month, to go and race in an event that if you can win it, it literally will change your life forever. And so it's exciting from that perspective. At the same time, it is very stressful. There's a lot that's going on. There's a lot of requirements of our time and sponsor requirements and everything else. But May is what we all look forward to. We all, you know, IndyCar racing, we love every weekend that we go to, everyone for different reasons, as you can imagine. But the Indy 500 it's just different. It's just different. That's the best way to put it. It's unique. It's special. It's the world's largest single-day sporting event. I know they've sold over 300,000 tickets already. Mm-hmm. for Sunday. It's just different. And so I love to be able to compete in it. This is my 10th, which is hard to imagine for me, but I'm looking forward to it.
You mentioned it's your 10th, and it seems like just in the last 10 years alone, this event has come back and had a resurgence in popularity. Obviously those lean years during the split years.
Yep.
But it seems like the last, especially the last five, 6 years, falling in with the 100th anniversary of the race, of course, too, but it just seemed like this race has gotten so big the last few
years. Well, I'll say this. I number one, I completely agree. I've been going there my whole life, and I 100% I agree. I think it's improved a lot. But on top of that, I would say, you know, this year, the crowds that I have seen, and it's not the 100th, we're beyond that, it's
right,
101st, the crowds that I have seen are better than I have ever seen them on a day-to-day basis. For sure, I would say qualifying, to me, looked like twice the amount of people that I had ever seen. Now, we had good weather,
mm-hmm,
but still, it was a big threat of rain in the morning. We got rain, and then we were able to qualify later in the day, both Saturday and Sunday. But a ton of people, the Grand Prix crowd, I guarantee you it was double what it was last year. I mean, so maybe the walk-up's been strong, I don't know. But to me, that buzz is tremendous. And I have seen that continuing to increase. Obviously, the crowd for the 100th last year was massive on race day.
Mm.
I expect the same. But I feel like what we've done is we've taken the last few years where we have these big milestone anniversaries, and we've built upon that and also just gotten the eyeballs back on the sport, and people have fallen in love again. And we've got great things to come. You know, the 2018 car, the new Indy car, is going to look phenomenal. It's going to look extremely racy. It'll be far, far sexier than what we have on track today. And I think the fans are going to love that. It's really going to be a throwback to the old IndyCar open wheel cars that I grew up watching and that I fell in love with. And so whether it be at the Indy 500 next year, whether it be at Watkins Glen, you know, for our race there, you know, I think that the new product is going to be even better too. So hopefully we can continue to build on this. We definitely seem to be starting to get the eye of the public back again, which is great. And, you know, we're looking forward to putting on a good show.
Great year qualifying performance. You're going to start 14th in the race, kind of pretty much in the middle of the field. The Honda engines did very well in qualifying. Just how do you think you and your team performed?
We performed okay. I'm not going to tell you we performed great. Unfortunately, we did find some stuff, but we found it from a setup standpoint, we just found it too late. And so with that being said, you know, my teammate Oriel, he was on a completely different setup for qualifying. And as you could see, his car wasn't quite as quick, but more consistent than mine. I seem to struggle a little bit more. And as we look forward, you know, to the race, I'm feeling pretty confident about both of us. Our car had a lot of speed on Sunday in qualifying, you know, almost doing a 231 mile an hour lap. But on the second lap, we fell off a lot. We had a lot of wind issues, and unfortunately, you know, we seemed to struggle a little bit with that. But, you know, we had the pace. We missed starting, I want to say, 11th or 12th. We missed moving up a few spots by 0.05 miles per hour over four laps. That is nothing. But that's what we missed it by. And so we're going to start 14th. It's a good place to start. And, you know, we're going to just work from there. 500 miles is a long, long, sure, long time. So last year we started 26th, I think. So, you know, we'll be able to work our way up.
It seems like you mentioned last year's race, of course, Alexander Rossi winning on that fuel strategy. Obviously, that can come into play. There's just so many variables that can happen on race day that, like you said, it is a very long race. Anything can happen.
It is. But I will say this, that sort of, and I don't want to call it luck because Alex he did a good job getting the mileage he needed. His engineers did a good job calling that race. But that sort of race doesn't happen very often at Indy. You know, a person doesn't win the Indy 500 like that, you know, maybe more than once every 25 years. That is not a common scenario. You know, frankly, last year there were several guys that really deserved the right to win it. And it was sad to see it come down to the fuel mileage game. But it worked for him. As we look towards this year, I don't see that coming into play personally, but I could be wrong. You know, I think the Hondas look very fast, and so I'm hopeful that all the Hondas will be up there running. We're all going to get similar fuel mileage. I think it's hard, you know, for a fuel mileage race to come into play again. But, you know, I do feel good about where we're at. Pit stops are going to be important. But, look, there's going to be a ton of opportunities to pass. And when I look at the weather report for the weekend, we're looking at mid-70s and sunny. So the weather looks good. So in mid-70s means a lot of grip. You know, if it were up in the 80s, the track temp comes up, everybody starts to slide around a little more, becomes more challenging. But I'm excited to go out there in the number 15 Steak and Shake machine. I hope we can have a really good, clean, fast, safe run and put ourselves in a really good position to win this thing.
Graham Rahal joining us in studio to talk about the Indianapolis 500, where he starts 14th. I have to ask you about Sebastian's crash and qualifying this week. I know you had some very powerful comments published afterwards, but have you had a chance to talk or text him at all? And just your thoughts on what happened?
I have. Yeah, and obviously the interview that you're referring to was unfortunately taken out of context. Mm-hmm. The reporter, it was not written accurately. But still, with that being said, I was simply stating, you know, that qualifying points at Indy makes those of us who don't have a shot at pole. We didn't have the speed for pole, yet we were going to go and risk more because of the points. But in a case like Sebastian, he had a car to be on pole. He without a doubt had the speed. My PR lady, Kathy, and I, we went and saw him. You know, Kathy, Sebastian, and I were all together at Newman Haas. And so we wanted to go see him and check in on him. He's doing well. In fact, I got an email from him this morning saying that, you know, he's feeling great. He's not allowed to put weight on his leg for 6 weeks, but he says he feels good. So, you know, I think he'll be out of the hospital here shortly and, you know, on his way to recovery. I think it looks like he's out for the year, which is disappointing for him. But, you know, he's a great competitor. There's no doubt we'll see him back soon. And look, I mean, these cars are fast. 232 mile an hour average qualifying speed. That was the fastest qualifying run that they had seen since 1996. Was the only year that the A car, which was Ari Leyendijk, went any quicker than the qual speeds this year. So the cars they're flying, and you know, when you're doing that, you're on edge. You know, you're on edge to make these things go fast, and it's definitely tricky.
When things like that happen, do you take a step back and think about your own career and how much longer you want to do this? I mean, drivers and retirement, a lot of talk, obviously, in the stock car world with Dale Jr. and Carl Edwards. Yeah. But then on the other hand, you've got a father-in-law that's racing after over 60 years of age driving funny cars for a living. Do you think about how longer you want to be a full-time driver?
I'm going to do this as long as I can. You know, that is, sadly, it's part of our sport. But if you're going to fear stuff like that, then you probably shouldn't be racing anyway, you mm-hmm. know? And so for me, hopefully I can do this for many more years to come. I'm 28. I'm young. I've been around a long time, but I'm still one of the youngest guys in the series. So the way I look at this, you know, is it's my job to come out here and help promote our sport, help build our sport. So hopefully you're going to see me for many years to come.
Of course, later this year, as you mentioned, you'll be back this way for Watkins Glen. I was there last year. It was a great turnout, a great event. I couldn't believe the amount of people they had on kind of a short promotional notice last year. Now they've got a full year to promote this event coming back to Watkins Glen Labor Day weekend. Where does the Glen rank on your list of favorite tracks on the IndyCar schedule?
Well, I'll say this. It's certainly in my top three. You know, Road America, Watkins Glen, Mid-Ohio are probably three of the greatest, you know, racetracks in this country. And, you know, I think what it has is, you know, Labor Day weekend, obviously that's kind of a family weekend anyway. And so to come out to the track, to camp out, to enjoy that area of the world, which is just beautiful. You know, it's great to be in Watkins Glen. We're proud to be back. Once again, last year, you know, our car, we were very fast there, and unfortunately, we got collected in an accident. But to be honest, you know, we were in the top three every single session. We had the pace to start up front, and even in the race when we started 20th due to a penalty and qualifying, we had worked our way into the top 10. You know, I think within the first 15 laps, so we had a car that was very quick. I'm thrilled to go back. I mean, it's fast around there. The cars are as fast as they've ever gone, setting lap records. The new paving is phenomenal. But like I said, you know, it's just a great racetrack, a great time to go spend with the family, come camp out, enjoy it with the rest of us. That's what we all do, stay at the track, and we love it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it, excited to come back and race there once again.
Last question for you. Come Sunday, with 2-3 laps to go, where would you prefer to be running, in the lead or maybe in that second spot, chasing a leader in those last couple laps?
Well, from what I've seen, you don't want to be the leader, because I think if you're the leader, you're probably a sitting duck. Having said that, if I'm the leader, I will do everything I can to make that car as wide as possible and use every inch of road. And if I can do that successfully, and there's ways to do that, then I can make it harder for people to get by. The other day I was running just ahead of Scott Dixon, who's our pole sitter, mm-hmm. in practice and trying that sort of technique, and he couldn't really close up on me for a few laps. So I got some practice with it if we have to, but we'll just have to see. You know, we'll have to see. The biggest thing is try to keep the nerves down and keep the brain clear and you know, make whatever the right move is, you got to make it at the right time, and it's either going to be your day or it's not. You know, Indy writes its own story, and hopefully this year's ours.
I like that. Indy writes its own story. That's very, very great quote. Graham, thank you so much for stopping by, joining us here in Buffalo today. Best of luck in the Indianapolis 500 and the rest of the IndyCar season.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There is Graham Rahal. He'll roll off 14th today in the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500. His dad, of course, former winner of this race back in 1986, Bobby Rahal, multi-time world champion as well in the sport, and a great young man, very, very well-spoken, obviously, as you can hear in the interview, and just a great chat with him both on-air and off-air while he was here visiting on Tuesday. One thing I forgot to ask Graham about, and I regret this because I even said it to him afterwards when I remembered about it, is he's going to actually have a helmet cam today. He has a camera affixed to the top of his helmet, and you'll see that during today's television broadcast on ABC. So that'd be something cool to look forward to. You get that kind of, like a GoPro, it's not a GoPro camera, but similar perspective, seeing what Graham sees from behind the wheel. That'll be something to look forward to on today's television broadcast. We'll have the radio broadcast, of course, today here on WGR, as the IMS Radio Network will have live coverage starting at 11 o'clock this morning. We come back, though, we'll cover the nightcap of today's big racing day, the Coca-Cola 600, with Brant James from USA Today. We get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Jimmy John's Ford. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
10:33 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan in a special Memorial Day weekend edition of WGR's Fast Track as we're taking up to coverage of the Indianapolis 500 here on WGR, followed up by live coverage of the Coca-Cola 600. Forgot to mention the opening segment. Of course, the Grand Prix of Monaco did get run this morning. And Sebastian Vettel picked up the win. In fact, it was a Ferrari 1-2 sweep with Sebastian Vettel and Kimi Raikkonen taking the top two spots. Daniel Ricciardo finishing third for Red Bull to round out the podium. Valtteri Bottas was fourth. Max Verstappen fifth. Carlos Sainz sixth. Lewis Hamilton finishing seventh. A disappointing finish for the defending champion. Or not the defending champion, but one of the drivers racing for the championship this year. Roman Grosjean finishing eighth for Haas F1, Felipe Massa, and Kevin Magnussen giving Haas F1 a pair of top 10 finishes at Monaco today. Jenson Button was in the race filling in for Fernando Alonso, who's running the Indianapolis 500 today. Of course, had a run in and sent one of his fellow competitors on the they had a wheel hop incident into the turn, and the car wound up on its side. Didn't roll over completely, but was resting up against a barrier on its side. That was one of the many late race incidents that kind of held up the end of the race, but another win for Sebastian Vettel. Coca-Cola 600, as I said, will be on here on WGR. Kevin Harvick is on the pole. Kyle Busch alongside, fresh off his All-Star win last week. Chase Elliott, Matt Kenseth in row two. Eric Jones, Denny Hamlin, row three. Ryan Blaney won the Xfinity Series race, starts seventh alongside Martin Truex, the defending race winner. Clinton Bowyer, Brad Keselowski round out the top 10 starters. Kurt Busch starts 12th. Jimmy Johnson rolls off 14th. Dale Earnhardt Jr. in his last Coke 600 will start 19th today. Joey Logano, 23rd. Casey Kane, 24th. And points leader Kyle Larson will start way back in 39th because of some technical inspection issues in qualifying for the 42 team. But with 600 miles, I'm sure Kyle will still be a factor. And speaking of tonight's Coke 600, let's head out to Charlotte and go to the AT&T hotline and bring in from USA Today, Brant James joins us on the line. Brant, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you again, sir.
Hey, Dave. How are you? Great to be on with you.
Doing well and excited for this very busy race day. You'll get the nightcap portion of it with the Coke 600 there in Charlotte. Brant, I know you wrote a great column about it, and folks can check it out at usatoday.com. NASCAR needing to spice up its marquee events here in the month of May in Charlotte. And with last year's race that Martin Truex dominated and last weekend's lackluster All-Star race, what is the buzz or the vibe? I mean, buzz might not be the right word, but just what are the thoughts of the garage area going into today's race with the lack of passing at the front of the field we continue to see here at the Charlotte Motor Speedway?
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR and Charlotte Motor Speedway officials have worked pretty hard trying to, you know, open up a higher groove. They applied some of the VHT resin to the top, you know, the same process at Bristol, and they drag tires on it. So, you know, they want to make this better. They're trying, even with four practice sessions. I don't know if anyone's really figured out how that's going to work. You know, it's not been on there very long. You know, in a couple of weeks, it might be great. Kyle Busch was talking about when he was younger, back at his home track, they put some of it on, and it took a while for it to come in. You mm-hmm. know, on it for a while, and eventually, it got really good. But it's not been on there for very long. I'm interested. You mentioned Kyle Larson. 600 miles. He's got plenty of time anyway, and he's proved that his, you know, his car is extremely fast, has been all year, been great on the 1.5 miles. It's going to be interesting to see him because he's a guy who likes to take the long way around all the time. He loves life up against the wall. So, you know, he'll be up there and he'll be in the resin, and he's going to be one of the ones trying to make it work. He's going to be an interesting interesting test of it, I think. So that's one of the things I'll be looking at. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious they need to spice up the product. The track makes it difficult. It's aero sensitive. It's very temperature sensitive. Dale Earnhardt Jr., who has no end of great little nuggets that he pops out with, whether they be about explaining side drafting to us at Talladega when he was doing the Xfinity broadcast, or asphalt construction. He mentioned something the other day about how this surface is one of the first ones to use a lot of I think he said rubber polymers, you know, incorporated in the track to increase grip, and it's really grippy. So that means you can just hug the bottom line and just keep going around and around with nice pace. So, you know, that's part of the situation, part of the problem, part of the fun and the maddening aspect of why people are always trying to chase it in racing.
You mentioned, of course, the traction compound that they have applied to the surface there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. One other twist to today's event is we got the indication, you know, just a couple of weeks ago that today's 600-mile race, instead of the three-stage format that some of us might still be trying to get accustomed to, is actually going to be a four-stage race today at Charlotte. So broken up into four 100-lap segments. Do you think at all that it spices up today's race at all, or maybe just gives us a few extra restarts to look forward to?
Yeah, who knows? I think it'll, you know, definitely put a couple extra spices in the, you know, next to the pot there. teams are going to have to do a pit stop in the middle of the stage instead of just waiting till the end, which is great. You know, get them doing something, get the guys coming over the wall. You know, have a great pit stop in advance, maybe something tricky with tires, but yeah, just anything to keep the cars, you know, get the cars off the track, running around in a line. And, you know, we talked about last year with Martin Truex Jr. leading 392 of 400. And, you know, sometimes I feel bad about feeling, you know, like, wow, he really stunk up the show, because that was a really great accomplishment.
Yeah.
Nailed it. And you got to give credit for that. It's sort of the old, you know, the old conundrum of, you know, do you root against the Bulls or the you know, Lakers, you know, whoever. Do you hate dynasties because they're great? I think if they're great, they're great. You have to appreciate that. But, you know, racing more than anything else gets judged as an entertainment value thing as much as a competition. And, yeah, boy, that was kind of hard to watch at times. So, yeah, long story short on that, I think anytime you can maybe mix up the order by throwing in some more variables, to me that's one of the better parts of adding that extra stage, is to mix it up. I don't know if, you know, more points being on the line is necessarily going to change any mindsets, because I think drivers are trained enough that, you know, the trophy's a big shiny bell and you just keep chasing it till they tell you to stop racing. So I think that's just, you know, an added bonus for them, not necessarily an incentive.
Brant James from USA Today joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Despite the potential for action or lack thereof today, there it seems like it could be a wide. There's plenty of favorites, I guess you could say, for today's race. You've got Truex, who won the race last year. You've got Blaney, who drove a great race yesterday in the Xfinity Series. You got your front row starters in Harvick, who's been successful at Charlotte. Kyle Busch coming off the All-Star win. We already talked about Kyle Larson coming from deep in the field. There's a lot of guys that you could put the label of favorite on today.
Yeah, you were rattling off names earlier, and I was trying to get my head around who I thought was going to win the thing. We do these little audio narrations for video packages during the week, and I went with Kevin Harvick, which is brilliant because he won the pole, but not really. What's that worth? But again, I mean, I don't know whether me going with Harvick is just a factor of, well, he's due, right? He's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Going to get one. And he's been good here. He's won. He's gotten close. And again, is it just a matter of time? But there's multiple cars. I mean, you got to mention Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
He's in this thing. Kyle Busch, well, he won the All-Star race. So, okay, so he's got a verifiable, you know, amount of success recently, although 70 laps compared to, you know, 400, big difference. And Kyle Larson. I mean, he's a guy that just comes out every week, and he's competing for a winning practice, and starting in the back is going to make him really interesting. He's like sort of the compelling point of the race for me to start, because, you know, sadly we are sort of expecting it to be a ride around a little bit, but you got your points leader in the back who had a problem in that high line. I mean, he's going to be, I think, someone who your attention is going to go to naturally. But, yeah, and Truex. You know, Truex has been fast here this weekend, too. There's no reason to expect they suddenly got, you know, dumb at Charlotte. He could, I don't think 392, it could happen again just for the sake of odds, but he could come out and ruin the show again. Who knows?
Brand, of course, we got the National Series schedules to earlier this week as well for the Cup, Xfinity, and Truck Series. What's your overall take on the 2018 schedules, including that road course race at Charlotte next fall and Indianapolis being the closeout to the regular season? With all the changes, what were your takeaways from the schedule?
Yeah, I mean, underlying, something had to be done. They had to mix that up.
Mm-hmm.
It was good to get Chicago out of its position. That had not, you know, been a thriller. You know, Richmond, it's not been one of those sort of short track producing moment, you know, places that everyone hopes for.
Mm-hmm.
And getting it in the chase and the playoff, almost a chase, in the playoffs is great. You mentioned the two that really stuck with me is Indy. Indy's been another big problem because the stock cars don't do very well either. They look big and clunky and slow, especially compared to the Indy cars. You know, it's so flat and so big. The Xfinity cars are going to run restrictor plates, and you have to believe that that's a test run to see if that could maybe get them to the point of running.
Mm-hmm.
The Cup cars, they got to make that product better. Okay, so generally that's a race in the middle of a late summer. Not a great show. It's a great place. Now they've moved it up to the regular season finale, which doesn't make any sense to me. You know, the series, when they were talking about it, you said this is going to be a great stage for this. Well, that's true. Everyone loves going there. It's historic.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to necessarily motivate drivers to try hard because they try hard every single time they go somewhere. They want to win in Indy in July really bad, too. So to me, it seems like a potential situation where you just sort of snub momentum that you might have been having running into the postseason. We'll see how that goes. And they know they have to address something to make the competition better. The road course in Charlotte is an interesting one. You can see why they did it because racing in Charlotte has not been super. Little leery of, and certainly they're going to test on it. We'll probably test on it a lot. But entering a road course into your playoffs that's never been used before, when you've got Sonoma and Watkins Glen sitting out there that, you know, already on your schedule, is odd. I know that it goes into a lot, you know, with the sanctioning agreements and where you want to be. That one to me is a real wild card. I'm really interested to see. You know, drivers are going to take a wait and see attitude on it, including the oval part of it. Adds a wrinkle. It could be phenomenal. Could be terrible. Chances are most things are sort of in between. But you got to do something. You got to take a chance on something. And I'm glad NASCAR did. That was, you know, pretty courageous on their part. Or you know, they're trying.
Yeah. Last thing, Brant, we only got about a minute here, but of course you were part of the Hall of Fame vote this week. We got our next class for the NASCAR Hall of Fame with Robert Yates, Ray Evernham, Ken Squire, Ron Hornaday, and Red Byron. Just real quickly, your thoughts on being part of that process?
It's a great process. It's a humbling process to be involved in with the people that are in the room with you. I go in each time I've only done it 2 years, with my five last year. I got swayed on a couple of them. This year I had my five, and I got pretty close. I actually got two. I felt like I was close. I'm really bad at math. Extremely happy about Robert Yates. I went in with him on my list. He deserved to be there, but the sentimental aspect of the liver cancer he's dealing with, and Ray Evernham, I was pushing for him. I'm very glad he got in. But you get fooled sometimes, too. I was absolutely certain that Joe Gibbs and Jack Roush would go in with their win totals and their championships, and swing and a miss. I didn't even get close on that one. So it's interesting to watch the room hash it all out.
You can go to USA Today and read all of Brand's work. He has been covering Speed Weeks down there at Charlotte for the last couple of weeks. Excellent coverage. Brant, thank you for the time this morning. Enjoy watching the Indianapolis 500 and then enjoy covering tonight's Coke 600. Thank you again, and we'll talk again soon.
You're welcome. Talk to you.
All right, Brant James from USA Today. You can also follow him on Twitter at Brant James. And again, he's got all great stuff on usatoday.com. It's all right there for you to peruse and get his thoughts on everything that's been going down at Charlotte. We come back. We'll wrap up this edition of Fast Track, this special edition, as we have our local racing roundup and also still time for your phone calls, 2-8-0-3-0-5-51, 888-552-550. We wrap up Fast Track here on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan for my friends at Batavia Downs. Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination with over 800 of the hottest and in-demand video gaming machines, and they've got tons of games, lots of great new titles, and they're always adding new ones as well, too. And now you can make it a night to remember by visiting their restaurants, stay a night at the hotel, and, of course, wager on live harness racing right there at Batavia Downs. You can check out the racing live and in person, or you can go to 34 Rush, Thurman Thomas' sports bar. Check out horse racing from around the country and all their many TVs. You can also watch auto racing, hockey playoffs, basketball playoffs, baseball. They've got it all there at 34 Rush inside Batavia Downs. They've also got the big 15-foot projection screen for those big sports events. Hang out, watch sports, wager on harness racing, grab a bite to eat, have some delicious adult beverages. You can do that all from 34 Rush inside Batavia Downs. Batavia Downs Gaming is open every day from 8 a.m. until 4 a.m. and they're right off the three-way exit 48. You can't miss it. And for more information, be sure to follow Batavia Downs on Facebook and Twitter for up-to-date info on all promotions and discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, and tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track. Friday night, complete washout pretty much for everybody. Lancaster Dragway, Ransomville, Ashweken, everybody got wet on Friday. Freedom, everybody rained out, unfortunately. The heavy rain on Thursday combined with the little rain that did fall on Friday just made most racetracks in the area a big mess. Same could be said on Thursday. Lancaster got rained out on Thursday as well, too. Saturday night action. We'll start at the Genesee Speedway. Jimmy Johnson picked up, no, not that one, in the Crate Late Models, the other Jimmy Johnson. And the Johnson family got their second win of the night in the Sportsman. Sarah Johnson got the win over Ray Bliss and Kyle Inman. Byron DeWitt in the Street Stocks. James Gaydon in the Mini Stocks. Jessica Traxler got the win in the Bandits. Wyoming County International Speedway last night. Paul Fly got the win in the Four Cylinders. Ryan Hallett in the Six Cylinders. Dave Krawczyk in another win in the Super Stocks. And Kirk Totten got the win in the SST Modifieds over Andy Jay and Daniel Majak. Merrittville Speedway last night. A couple of sweeps. There's a couple divisions that had double features. Josh Slider swept the Mod Light mains. Dave Bailey swept the Hoosier Stock features. James Michael Friesen got the win in the Sportsman. And Chad Brockman got the win in the Modifieds over Greg Panunte and Gary Lindberg. They also ran on Monday night, Victoria Day Monday. Matt Williamson got by Eric Rudolph late to win the Brian Stevens Memorial Modified race on Monday. And Charlie Sandercock won the Rush Late Model race there Monday night at the Merrittville Speedway. Tonight, you had two choices. Unfortunately, one of those choices has already fallen because of dampness and the potential for rain this evening. Little Valley has pulled the plug for their program tonight. Tough. That's been the story of Little Valley for the last couple of years. I feel bad for those folks. They've had so many rainouts to deal with over the last few years. They will try again in a couple of weeks. So your one option for racing tonight in person, if you don't want to watch it on TV or listen on the radio, you can go to Humberstone Speedway tonight. They are going to finally try and kick off their season up there in Port Colborne, Ontario. Their five divisions of racing, including the BEI Lightning Sportsman Series. They've got fireworks tonight. And all year at Humberstone Speedway, 18 and under are free every week at Humberstone Speedway there in Port Colborne. So take the kids. They can get it for free all year at the Humberstone Speedway. Coming up, a great weekend, hopefully, if it doesn't rain here in Western New York. Friday night, you've got the Patriot Sprint Cars at the Ransomville Speedway, and you've got the Race of Champions Modifieds at Spencer Speedway. Saturday night, International Super Modified Association, the Wing Super Mods are back in Western New York. They'll be at Lancaster on Saturday night, plus the Wing Can-Am TQ Midgets. That should be an awesome show. They had 24 ISMA Supermods at Oswego last night, and we're hoping for a similar big turnout coming up this week at Lancaster on June 3rd. So that should be a good show. Also, Ransomville announcing they're going to be running Monday, June 25th to make up for some of the rainouts that they've had this year, too. So stay tuned. Enjoy the racing today. Hit us up on Twitter throughout the day at Fast Track 550 as you're watching the races, and we'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.